Welcome to Bible Adventures. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.
Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is Lord of all. No sin is too big, no problem too small. Jesus is Lord of all.
In today's Bible Adventure, we look at what happened when people living on earth after Noah's flood rejected God's authority and didn't obey him.
During the first several decades after the flood, Noah and his family faithfully carried out God's will. They built new houses, cultivated the soil, and above all, Noah's sons and their wives had many children who, when the time came, also married and had children of their own. In this way, the earth was gradually repopulated. And, of course, the number of animals, birds, and insects also grew by leaps and bounds. Establishing new lives must have been difficult and often discouraging. The floodwaters had caused indescribable damage to the earth, gouging out deep chasms, throwing up impassable mountain barriers, tearing up entire forests by the roots, and wiping out all traces of human endeavor. But, as pioneers, the descendants of Noah, in time, subdued the wilderness. And it came to pass, as some of Noah's descendants journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and built a city there. Before long, some of the leading citizens were discussing a strange plan.
Well, why don't we put that experience to good use and build a tower? A tower high enough to pierce the clouds.
The citizens of the town responded enthusiastically to the idea of building the tower. Plans were at once drawn up, and the work began without delay. And the Lord saw the tower which the children of men builded, and he was displeased, saying to himself,
"This thing is not good. The people do remain in one place instead of scattering to fill the earth. In their vanity, they aspire to reach up even into heaven. Now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech, and the work come to an end."
Bring up another load of bricks.
What sucks too?
Now, why don't you answer properly?
He's thirsty, dismissed.
Oh, he's gone crazy. Hey, you there. Hey, get me some more bricks.
Too sweet. Vasily Lomonosov.
I'm not the hammer.
Thus it was that the work on the tower came to an end. The builders were wholly unable to account for the strange misunderstandings among them. And in their rage and disappointment, they reproached one another. Their confederacy entered in strife. Up to this time, all people had spoken the same language. Now those who could understand one another's speech united in companies and departed. Some went one way, some another. This dispersion was the means of peopling the whole earth, and thus the Lord's purpose was accomplished.
In Genesis chapter 9, God commanded that the sons of Noah multiply and fill the earth. But they failed to do that, and instead they settled in the plain of Shinar beside the Euphrates River and located in present-day Iraq. The land was a pleasant place, and the people were content to stay there. There they built a city called Babylon. Noah's son Ham had a grandson named Nimrod, and this name meant "let us revolt." In the scriptures, Nimrod was referred to as a mighty one, which comes from a Hebrew word meaning tyrant. The phrase "a mighty hunter before the Lord" suggests that it was not wild beasts that Nimrod was hunting, but instead men. Having hunted them down, Nimrod would enslave them and oppress them. And all this was done in direct opposition to the Lord. After building a southern Sumerian kingdom that was centered in Babylon, Nimrod invaded Assyria and built a number of cities, including Nineveh, which is where he lived. Nineveh was roughly 250 kilometres north of Babylon on the upper portion of the Tigris River. Nimrod used a military plan of conquering one village or city at a time and then building up his strength as a dictator until he subdued all the tribes of the east. He then unified the people to work on numerous construction projects, with the most prominent one being the Tower of Babel. After three generations from Noah, the people seemed to distrust God. Maybe their guilty consciences knew they deserved punishment for their sin, and as a result, they couldn't be certain that God would keep his promise of the rainbow to never flood the whole earth again. Distrust is an attitude that's never acceptable to God. Distrust in God includes failure to believe God is true and worthy of being trusted, and that his promises are trustworthy and reliable. When one distrusts in God, they put their trust in other things. So, under Nimrod's supervision, the people started building a tower that grew so high that it reached up into the heavens. By this time, the people were experts at making furnace-fired bricks rather than the sun-dried ones, and they knew to hold them together with bitumen. This structure was to be a permanent one for worshipping God, but their motives for building the tower were all wrong. The people were trying to make a name for themselves and become great, perhaps as great as God. They also started to build the tower to stop themselves from scattering all over the earth. Their sins were pride and disobedience. So before long, as it had been before the flood, the people again were displeasing to God. The sinful nature that Noah had inherited from Adam was now clearly passed on to their descendants. The people may have been deceived into thinking that the beautiful tower they were building would be a reminder of creation and therefore please God. But God hadn't commanded them to build the giant structure. Just as Cain's offering of quality fruits that had been produced by his own hands weren't acceptable to the Lord, neither would Nimrod's tower be. Before long, the people started making statues of animals, birds, and people, and they placed them in a temple constructed in the tower, as well as along the streets of the city and in their homes. This practice soon became the worship of created things, rather than the Creator God himself. People also started worshipping angels and the stars of the sky. A system was developed whereby certain angels dealt with certain aspects of life, while local spirits ruled society. This pagan practice soon became so complicated that one class of people dedicated their lives to the study of it. Nimrod was well aware of what he was doing. Many of the angels the people worshipped were fallen angels or demons. As they'd done so before the flood, these evil spirits began to control the bodies and minds of those human beings who were open to such possession and guidance. Nimrod, with his access to demonic powers, could in future be able to do anything he might decide to do, but God would not allow a repeat of the wickedness of the pre-flood world. Up to this point in history, all human beings only spoke one language between themselves, but the Bible says that God caused the people to start talking in other languages, and so much so, confusion reigned on the tower building site. With an inability to communicate clearly with one another, the work on the tower quickly stopped. Small groups of people who spoke the same language then moved out to different places around the earth, the very opposite of what they had wanted to avoid. That city's name started to be called Babel, which sounds like the Hebrew word for confused. This event is recorded in the first section of chapter 11 in the book of Genesis, but the descendants of Noah's sons are actually given in chapter 10. Noah's three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, moved to completely different areas of the world to live. Although we say the sons' names in the order of Shem, Ham, and Japheth, in reality, Japheth was the oldest and Ham was the youngest. The Bible tells us, and genetics confirms this, that we're all descendants of Adam and Eve. No matter the color of our skin, all peoples are part of one human race, which means that all people are sinners, just like our first parents, Adam and Eve, were, and all are in need of the restoring gospel of Jesus Christ. Sin always separates man from God, brother from brother, family from family, and now nation from nation. The most important part of the dispersion of the people across the lands was God's introduction of human government. The people were subdivided into workable and controllable social units or nations, and yet they could contribute to the corporate life of mankind as a whole, just as each family could contribute to its own particular nation. the social reorganization should have encouraged the greatest appreciation of God's grace, shown in his maintenance of the physical conditions needed for life and his promise of ultimate redemption and salvation through Jesus Christ. By this time of God's intervention, the complex basis of human religion had been formally established. People rebelled against the God of heaven and they started worshipping created things instead. Satan is the chief of God's created beings. God originally made him as the most beautiful and powerful angel in the heavenly realms. Yet Satan, or Lucifer as he was called, rebelled and he wanted to become God himself. Unfortunately, this pagan religion has taken on many forms over the centuries, and much of the world's people today remain under the influence of Babylonian pagan practices from Nimrod's time. In Psalm 2 of the Bible, God says, "Why do the nations plan rebellion?" And, "From his throne in heaven, the Lord laughs and mocks their feeble plans." There's coming a time when mystery pagan originating religions will all be destroyed. In Revelation chapter 17, it says that 10 kings with the same purpose will fight against the Lamb, who's Jesus. But the Lamb, together with his faithful followers, will defeat them because Jesus is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Jesus will always be Lord because there's no one on earth or in heaven who can be compared to him. Satan, the created and fallen angel, cannot defeat his creator, the divine Son of God, who is Jesus Christ. Nimrod served Satan and in many ways was a lot like him. Both Nimrod and Satan wanted to be the top ruler over everyone and so replaced the God of heaven and earth with their own forms of earthly authority and worship. God loves his followers, but Satan never looks after those who worship him. Satan's followers will receive the same fate as him in a never-ending torment with the flames of hell. Jesus often spoke about the need to avoid this fate while he was on earth. Siding with Satan or following him is not a winning position for any person. It says in Revelation chapter 20 that the devil will be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone and will be tormented day and night forever and ever. If you've been born into some religion that doesn't worship Jesus Christ as the resurrected Saviour, Lord and coming conqueror, then understand that all the variety of religions in the world have come from and are promoted by Satan to deceive people. Jesus Christ would love to have you come to him, confessing that you've worshipped the wrong gods and deities, and asking him to take away all your past, present, and future sins now and forever. Then when you ask Jesus to become the Lord and Savior of your own life, Jesus will come to you through his Holy Spirit and dwell within you. Get a Bible and read it over and over again, praying that you will understand what you read and that your life will not displease him. Many things will change for you as a result. Praise him for these changes and lavishly share your blessings that God has given you with others. Many people in this world say they're Christians, but you need to determine this by looking at their lives for godly fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, humility, and self-control. These are the fruit of God's Holy Spirit indwelling the hearts of those who believe and trust in Jesus. The Holy Spirit is a believer's assurance of salvation and restored relationships with God. The Holy Spirit is given by God to those people who love him and his Son Jesus as a guarantee that they're heaven-bound when they finally leave this earth. The drama is from the Bible in Living Sound. You can also contact us through our website, www.bibleradio.org.au. Those addresses again, and the website, bibleradio.org.au. We're looking forward to hearing from you. You've been listening to Bible Adventures, and I hope you'll join me again next time. Jesus is